welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I just wanted to wait on the Lord and share the word He has for you today. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, Yea, I shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come, says the Lord. It is a time in which I shall cause rivers of living water to flow to my people. They shall drink, yea, the thirsty shall drink and be satisfied. Those who hunger after righteousness, yea, I shall feed them from the word of God. I shall feed them but with my goodness, and they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of my house. For I would deny my people no good thing. I will feed them with the finest of wheat. I will give them the best of the land. I speak concerning spiritual things, the spiritual inheritance I have provided for you, that I have reserved for you in this hour, that you shall eat and be satisfied. Your soul will experience a prosperity, and you will delight yourself in the Lord, because you know that I am with you. I bear my holy arm in your behalf, and the enemy who has withstood you, the enemy who has sought to bring anxiety and distress, as you stand and resist him, says the Lord, behold, I shall make the way straight before your feet. You shall not be intimidated. You shall not be fearful. You shall not be anxious. You shall not be in confusion, for I, the Lord, will speak quieting thoughts to your mind. As you wait upon me, I shall strengthen your heart. I shall show you and lead you in the way in which you are to go. Therefore, rejoice and rest in me, for I surround you with songs of deliverance. You shall rejoice in your God, and you shall see, lo, prayers that have been long hindered in being fulfilled. You shall rejoice in seeing them come to pass before your eyes. Praise me and thank me, and know that I am with you. And let the joy of your soul be full, for I delight in you, says the Lord, and my desire is toward you, says your God. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, grant that. Lord, you said out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. And so, Father, cause us to drink. Let us drink freely, Lord, to satisfy our own thirst, to satisfy our own need. And then, Father, let the waters of life flow out to us, to those who are thirsty. Bring those, Lord, who need your water, who need to have their thirst satisfied. Even, Lord, as the Samaritan woman spoke with Jesus at the well, she said, evermore, give me this water. Lord, you freely have given that water to us. So, Father, let us give to those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, those who are desperate, those who need God in their lives. Father, reveal to them, draw them by the Spirit of God, and Lord, satisfy the longing of their souls as you unveil Christ to their heart, and they yield and surrender and submit to the God of the universe, to the Lord who is wondrous in mercy and is filled with loving kindness. Father, reveal yourself to them and to us in a new measure, that we can go forth in strength, go forth in joy. For the joy of the Lord is truly our strength, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, with the Lord's help, we are going to continue on in this message that the Lord has placed on my heart, along with that tremendous work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. I believe he's pouring his Spirit out upon all flesh. And he's why, as he said in Joel, that your sons and daughters will prophesy, or the old men shall dream dreams. God is doing this work. There's a deluge, a refreshing, a tsunami of God's power, if you will, flowing to the body of Christ to carry us upon the very billows of God. Just as you remember as a child, as you would float perhaps on an inner tube, he's carrying us out into the deep waters, beloved. Waters to swim in. As Ezekiel, he walked out there, but he's carrying us on his wings of love. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel his presence. Well, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were talking about the unity God desires to bring his body into. And I gave the illustration of a sports team, an athletic team, how they are working together, a group of people, very individual, but they subordinate their individual interests and their giftings and talents, even their opinions, to the unity and efficiency of the group. That's the most important thing. They have to work as a team in order to defeat the enemy, in order to win victory. The same principles, beloved, that we can relate to on a natural level, it's a coordinated effort, and it's the same in the body of Christ. When two or more ministries are in agreement together, they agree in terms of the spiritual principles of God's word, they become a unit, if you will, a team ministry, of a networking of giftings, of callings. Webster defines network as this: it is a fabric or structure of cords or wires that cross at regular intervals and are knotted or secured at the crossing. And what does that bring to mind? Well, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 12, which reads, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." So, beloved, unity or teamwork or networking, all these speak of our coordinated joint effort in which individual ministries will blend together in submission to teach others and to reach a common spiritual goal, which is unity and maturity in the body of Christ. And, beloved, you might say, well, I'm not in ministry. I'm not a five-fold ministry. Beloved, the same principle operates in the local church. These spiritual principles operate all the way down. God is a God of authority, of rules. He has principles. He has laws that govern the universe, physical laws as well as spiritual laws, beloved. We can't escape them. That's how he has set up reality. And so it behooves us to learn those principles. That's true in the local church. There, the pastor is the head of the local church. He's been anointed by God to minister the word of God, to take care of the sheep. Oh my goodness, there's hair-raising portions in Ezekiel where he talks about shepherds who plunder the flock and just shear them and utilize them for their own purposes. And then when the wolf comes, because they're hirelings, they just run away. God has strong, he doesn't like that one bit. Because why? Jesus came. He spoke of himself as the good shepherd. And so, beloved, God has a plan, and as we will hearken to his plan, as we will understand that even within the local church, there are ministries that should be in operation. It's not the work of the pastor, beloved. A pastor has got so much. Anyone who is in ministry full-time, beloved, you just don't know. Unless you're a full-time ministry, the demands upon you, it is continual. You never get away. It is a life calling. And no matter if it's in the middle of the night, if it's convenient, not convenient, it doesn't matter. One has to be instant in season and out of season. That's the call of ministry. And why? That's why the word says, respect those who are in ministry. because of the calling and the burden and the responsibility that is placed upon them by God. Paul, when he was called of God, he was spent 3 years in the wilderness, you know that? And he was being prepared for his life's work. God showed him the things that he must suffer. And you know, I had a revelation. I'm just going to pause in the message. But as I was on my walk this morning, I do that every day because I have a border collie who insists on that exercise. I rain, snow, sleet, rain or shine, I have to do that. And it's good exercise for me. But I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. And, you know, he was warned as he went back to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit spoke through prophetic voices that bonds and chains and even death awaited him. And I believe God spoke to his heart. He'd suffered much at that point in time. And he was aware. He didn't disregard the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because I've read in some places, well, you know, if he hadn't have gone to Jerusalem, he could have been very, very useful. He could have gone on to Spain. He could have had more. He could have traveled more and expanded his evangelistic ministry. But at one point, Paul is very revealing. He's shown how others viewed him with contempt. I guess he was small of stature. He wasn't a very powerful speaker. He wasn't very commanding in his personal presence, but his epistles were weighty. Isn't that the truth? And so I was thinking, Lord, he had a choice, and he had determined, he set his face, as it were, just as Jesus did, to go to Jerusalem. He knew what might await him, but what he didn't know, the imprisonment and even the favor, 2 years in a private house where, as a prisoner, the saints were allowed to come and minister to him, and he could minister to them. But more importantly, beloved, because he was so busy preaching the word of God, in that time of imprisonment, in confinement, we are now sharing the powerful words through the epistles that God gave that beloved man, powerful revelations that even Peter said they're hard to understand. We're only beginning to get glimpses of the powerful truths that God gave to the Apostle Paul. And so, beloved, he has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your life. And you might feel like, you know, I declare some of the most powerful intercessors may be confined to a bed of sickness or as an invalid, and they can have a power in intercession that the most powerful evangelist doesn't have. Why? We are all called of God. We all are incredibly important. It's only the devil that makes you think your contribution isn't significant. You reject that lie. Okay, well, my time is gone. I have to bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on tomorrow at the same time. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.